accepting ourselves, a place where boys, pups, and subs alike can kick back and discuss things amongst themselves. Email your questions to boyneil@houseofmnsm.com. That's boy, B-O-Y, Neil, N-E-A-L.
Hello, everyone. This is Boy Neil here. I'm glad to be here to speak to all of you tonight. And hopefully, we all can learn some things together and just have some good discussions. So, just got back from a great weekend. Was up in Toronto for the Halloween festivities going on, which is always a lot of fun in Toronto. It's the first time I was there, but it's amazing how many people are there. And Halloween, can be a really neat holiday because it allows people to just kind of be themselves and also at the same time be someone else, be someone different that they're normally not. It's kind of what masks do for people a lot of times is they give them that way to escape. And there's some amazing numbers where something like, at least in America, over two-thirds of the people will buy Halloween masks or something for Halloween. It's a huge, huge thing down there. And up there in Toronto it is as well. So that's real good. I'm also here with Master and Sir. They're busy texting and producing things as well. And also, Pup Corey is here as well tonight. So
hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
So we have a full house tonight, which is kind of nice.
Hello? Is this thing on?
But anyway, one of the things tonight I kind of wanted to talk about, at least to open things up, is everyone knows that listens to the show anyway, or that knows me, that I call myself a Leather Boy. And that's a term that until I really understood it was kind of used loosely, and a lot of people didn't understand, and a lot of people today don't understand what that can be about. And I'm not here to say that when someone calls himself a boy in a different situation or environment that there's anything wrong with that or wrong with them by using it or they disgrace it. It's just, it's when you say to me a leather boy, to me it means something totally different. A lot of times when you're talking a boy, it brings up, at least it did for me years ago, it would bring me thoughts of a daddy boy sex scene, and that was about all it was, is someone role playing that they were a daddy and another one role playing that they were a boy, and the one screaming out, "Oh, fuck me daddy," but to many that's all it is. So it can be a very misunderstood thing to many out there, as it was to me. The big thing that helped me understand what a leather boy was and understand that's what I was when I read the Leather Boy's Handbook. Not everything in there is perfect or 100%, because again, that's a book of someone's life. And his life has transitioned as well. He's got a new book out because he added some things to it, as well as the transition to from being a leather boy to being a dominant, which he is now. And I forget the date. Master, you remember what date it said that he did that? He gave a date.
I'll look that up.
It was November something.
April of 2009.
April, that was what it was, 2009. And that really helped me to understand it. But that's not what everybody is. Before that time, everyone kept trying to tell me that I was, they tried to make me their slave. And a slave is to me a totally different thing. A slave, Wayne knows him, and I've talked about it a lot. A slave is very different from a leather boy. And you also find in a lot of the leather community, if you're out there looking to be someone's leather boy, don't be surprised if many masters and sirs out there have no idea what a leather boy is. I experienced a lot of that with many of the masters and sirs I would talk about. They were like, "A boy? No, there's not such a thing. You're either a slave or you're not. You're a slave or a master or a sir. That's your choices." And so you can't be surprised with that as well.
And that's something else too. I mean, you, from the perspective of, yes, different sorts have different ideas about things, so. And it doesn't make anything more right or wrong, right?
Which is exactly right. Yeah, it's fine. If not every master or sir is under the same following or beliefs or follows the same guidelines. You know, we talk a lot about there's old school and there's new school, and, well, there's all kinds of schools in between as well. It's what works between the two people or what works between the family. That's all that really matters. Nothing more than that matters. So...
That, and we can't forget that what a lot of people hear about of this community, especially as submissives, is you might hear boy, you generally will hear slave. If you're lucky, you'll run across pup. But people generally don't know what those terms mean, and so when they start looking into them, you need to keep an open mind to remember that your own understanding of what those things are can change.
Right, and my point is, too, what each individual master or sir thinks or believes a boy or a pup or slave, how they should be treated, is totally different as well.
From one and the other.
Exactly. And how they're, and with many masters and slaves and sirs, they expect different behavior in the house versus out of the house. Other masters and sirs, like mine, it's a 24/7 thing. It's not a lifestyle that I'm living. It's a life that we're living. So it doesn't change as far as the behavior goes in or out of the house. It's the same all the time. There's still nothing wrong with role play. There's nothing wrong with a relationship that's or a play or a scene that only goes on in the bedroom, because that's wonderful as well. And that can be special and very important.
And different levels, like you said, different levels. Some people may want it only on the weekend, may want that only in their bedroom, or only want it on a part-time basis because they can't handle it.
Or they just simply can't do it, period, because of their work situation or their family situation. There could be a lot of reasons you couldn't do it. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong, that they're only doing it. In many cases, I remember when I first got involved with BDSM, at the time I was managing car dealerships, I was lucky if I had the time once every 6 months where I could set something up where I could go and be with a master or sir or something like that. I just simply didn't have the time to do it all the time. My life wasn't allowing it at that time, and that wasn't a lifestyle that I could live in public managing a car dealership. It just wouldn't have worked, and that's all right.
Mm-hmm. You're doing good.
Okay.
He's looking at me like, fuck, now what do I say?
No, I was like, you're ready to say something, master.
Nope. You know what? Why don't continue? Tell me about one of the first times that you kind of met a sir. Tell me about your feelings. Tell me about what you were afraid of. Tell me your feelings and such, because I know there's other people out there that have those same feelings, and to hear it come out of somebody else's mouth, a lot of times is reassuring, and that's kind of part of what we want to do, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, in my particular way I did it, or my example of the first time that I ever met with anybody, I did a lot of things probably wrong. Yeah, definitely. I mean, number one, and some of the things we're going to talk about, we want to talk about more during this show and different times, and we will, is being smart, being safe.
Safe calls.
Safe calls, a lot of different things. I didn't even, until not too long ago, even know what a safe call was. So I never had set one up before in my life, and I had been tricking. I came out when I was 35 years old.
But you didn't care about the safe call. You just cared about the tricking part. You didn't give a shit if you came back one in peace or not.
Well, let me ask you, Sir Mark. You had a longer life of that than I did. How many safe calls did you use?
I always told a friend.
Did you?
Actually, I did.
Wow, I did.
From a bad personal experience.
Oh, okay.
And because I've always been quite chicken in that department, so usually I'd be out with friends at a bar, mm-hmm. and if I met somebody, they would know who the guy looked like and where I was kind of going anyway. So if something, and I would always make sure to introduce whoever I was leaving with to one of my friends,
mm-hmm.
so they would be at least able to
know who it was.
To know.
And that's a big thing that, and you made a good point, and a big thing that's changed in the way things are done you know, now with it all being done online, there isn't that. The first contact is when you're walking into a situation like that in too many cases. You've never met this person anywhere, and you're knocking on their door and saying, blindfold me and tie me up and do whatever to me. You know what? That sounds kind of crazy, and it actually is, unless you've done certain safety and precaution things. The first time that I came together or met with a master, I set it up. I mean, his orders or what he desired was, and his orders were, that I drive to a particular truck stop, which was about a two-hour drive from my house. He had lived a little ways away at the time. And at the time, I was going to come into his vehicle. He was going to blindfold me and take me to the dungeon, which he did. I didn't, from that point on, didn't even know where the dungeon was, and yet I allowed that to happen to me. That wasn't a very safe thing to do.
No.
I could have seriously disappeared. How long would it have taken me to find my car sitting in a truck stop? There's a lot of cars that sit in truck stops all the time. It could have sat there. The police could have maybe found it in 2, 3, 4 days. I could have been in another country by then.
Well, you know what's funny? You're saying that a lot of boys, or even a lot of kinkster people are kinky.
Just submissive,
fantasy,
period.
You talk to them submissive, or not even just submissive. Yeah. They talk about, oh, I want you to abduct me. I want you to take me here. I want to do that.
Kidnapping scenes are big things, sir.
But they don't realize that some people will bring that to a totally different level.
What? They don't really want that for real? Well, I kind of thought that. The one guy sent me his freaking bike route.
Well,
this is how I get to and from work. Come and take me. And don't ever bring me back. Well, isn't that what you really want? So what happens when you do it? Is that consensual or non-consensual?
That's a good thing. You will get arrested for it. That would be called kidnapping.
I'm going to use this as a plug.
In fact, there's cases of that where there's people have been charged. But yes, go on.
There's an app called Life 360 where you can stay in touch with all of your loved ones that have similar smartphone devices. And it lets them know at all times where you can turn it on and off, whether they know where you are. For example, my mother was up visiting. We went to the falls. We were on the Maid of the Mist. My dad calls her because she's showing up as in the middle of a river between two nations. He thought she was drowning. I'm not advising that you blindly go do a kidnapping scene, but, you know, technology's there as a tool. If you're determined to do it, be as smart about it as you can.
Well, just so you, I mean, most people are not aware of this because they don't want people to be aware. If you have an Android phone in the U.S., it's hooked up with Google. There is a memory in Google at any time if that happens. Unless you turn it off, it's automatically on. So all smartphones basically in the U.S., you are being tracked whether you like it or
now,
not.
Let's back this up. So you said that, yeah, you got in your car, you drove 2 hours. If I remember correctly, didn't you have a butt plug in there too?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, just
forgot. I was instructed to.
Yes. So now, you knew what wasn't safe when you were doing it. But
no, and I'd also agreed that they would have me for a day and a half.
So why did you do it if you knew if it wasn't safe?
Because it was something I wanted to do. You do these things for the excitement of it. And this was my first true submissive.
Full well knowing that it was incredibly dangerous and you could have been killed.
But the scary part is you gotta when you're submissive, that can be part of the adrenaline of it. That can be part of the thing that gets you happy or excited, or it's a turn on, quite honestly, it can be. And that's where people can get in trouble. And that's what we always do have to think about. There would have been ways I could have still done that with a safe call. I would have just insisted on it. And if the person on the other end would have said, no, I won't do it that way, well, that's a good sign there's probably trouble.
Exactly. If you tell somebody that, yes, I'm going to be coming there, but I will be have, or you make sure.
I will
sure
have to call somebody as soon as I get there
and
let them know where
sure
I'm
sure they know this ahead of time, because that is, you know what, if you've got something to hide, you know that I insist you have a safe call right. If you come to this dungeon. You do.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's just the way it is.
Right, exactly. The first time you come.
And you've got to look at it, too. From the aspect of, it's also protecting the individual whose home it is, right? Mm-hmm. And it can work two ways. You bring a trick to your house. This is a young guy. You might be a little bit older of a guy. And you think you're being the Dom. That fucker knocks you upside the head and does whatever to you and then robs you blind. Right? Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily just have to be the submissive one to have a safe call. A sir can have a safe call to somebody as well.
You right. don't even have to be in BDSM to have a safe call or
that's
use it.
That's even better, true.
It's even in any situation. If you're on, I don't care, what one of many websites, and you're looking at someone's pictures and you're looking at, you're
well,
talking
you don't
to
know
them,
if you're getting
they totally
what you're
lie
seeing.
About everything. You don't know if it's the truth. How many fake pictures? I mean, I can tell you stories of doing tricks and they'd come to the door and they would not at all be the age, the weight, the size, the picture, the anything. It'd be like, you're going to leave now.
That's actually a good rule of thumb that I tell some of my younger friends that are getting out and about, and they want to go hook up, they want to play. And I say, you know what, you're going to do what you're going to do. But use this as a rule of thumb. If somebody lies about something that you can tell is bullshit the second you meet them, like their appearance or their endowment or whatever, if they're going to lie about something you can tell is obviously bullshit, there's no reason to believe that they're not pulling something else over on you.
That's a 100%. Agree. I totally agree with that, and that's always a great sign. Well, here we go. We're going to go into break now. We'll be back in a bit.